you. Om Sang Saraswati Namaha. The question is, what is the 1,000-day Chandi Yagya about? The Sahasra Chandi Yagya. Why do we do it? What are the benefits of doing it? And how does it work? And those are the issues that I propose to address tonight, so everybody has a little bit of an idea. And in answer to that question, I'm going to read the 13th chapter, at least the translation of the 13th chapter of the Chandi, starting with verse number 1. Om, the Rishi said, "Thus, O King, I have narrated the excellent glory of the goddess. Such power has this goddess that she sustains the world. Knowledge is conferred by her, the perceivable form of the consciousness that pervades all, and by her, you, this businessman, and others of discrimination, are being deluded, have been deluded, and will be deluded. O great king, take refuge in her, the supreme sovereign. When she is pleased, she bestows upon mankind enjoyment, heaven, and liberation." Markandeya said, "Thus hearing the words of that very eminent seer who had performed severe penances, good thoughts, the king of men, despondent over his excessive egotism and attachment to the loss of his kingdom, bowed down to that seer. He and the very wise businessman set forth to practice disciplined meditation with the object of obtaining the complete intuitive vision of the mother. They stayed on the sand bank of the river. He and the businessman, in the radiant illumination of disciplined meditation, continually recited the verses of praise to the goddess." That's the Chandi part. "They prepared an earthen image of the goddess on the river bank, which was worshipped in turns." That means when one stood up, the other sat down, and the worship continued. "With their minds fully concentrated, no other thoughts. With the offering of flowers, incense, and fire, they remained without food or with limited food. Nirahara yatahara. They controlled their diets and then they fasted. And then they controlled their diets and then they fasted. They gave the offering sprinkled in blood taken from their own bodies. Total submersion in their worship. Total giving without thinking even of the comfort of their own bodies. Thus, they propitiated her for 3 years with concentrated minds." Now, these 3 years comes out to be 1,095 days. And this is the tradition of the Sahasra Chandi. You can either do 1,000 days or you can do 1,095 days. "They propitiated her for 3 years with concentrated minds," meaning there was no other agenda. Nobody had any other things that they wanted to do or required to do. "Whereupon the sustainer of the world was extremely pleased, and she, who tears apart thought, spoke to them in a perceivable form. And the goddess said, 'O king, and you businessman, delight of your family, you have attained to extreme bliss, and I am completely satisfied. I shall give to you whatever you pray for.'" That is, within 3 years of this bhava of worship, they had attained to extreme bliss because their minds were so focused and concentrated. They longed for nothing else from the world. And that's what the vow of Sahasra Chandi is about. You know how we feel at the end of Navaratri, after 9 days of worship. where we have gone day and night and from morning until night, there's no other agenda other than to complete the worship. Now, 3 years is even more intense. And it is said that the worship with fire requires 10% of the quantity of mantras as the worship without fire. In other words, for the attainment of perfection in any mantra, siddhi, the standard formula is 100,000 repetitions for each letter of the mantra. That is, Namah Shivaya is the five-lettered mantra. Panchakshar requires 5 lakhs for the attainment of perfection. If you do japa of Om Namah Shivaya 500,000 times, then you will attain perfection in the mantra. If you do at the fire called Parascharan, Parascharan requires 10% of the amount required for japa. So that would be 50,000 repetitions at the fire is equivalent to 500,000 repetitions without the fire. So if you do 1,000 days with the fire, it's equivalent to a lot of chandis. And if you have a mind that's fully concentrated with no other agenda other than to propitiate the Divine Mother, the intensity grows and grows exponentially. And if we participate in a chakra where one individual rises from the asana and another sits down, then the cumulative vibration of all of that tapasya feeds off each other and enhances each other's tapasya. And thereby, by doing it together as a family, those who will participate without any other thought are going to experience deep intuitive states of meditation. Very, very deep intuitive states of meditation. And the goddess said, I am completely satisfied. I shall give to you whatever you pray for. And Markandeya said, then the king chose an imperishable kingdom, which will remain with him even in another life, and also the return of his own kingdom, which was forcibly taken from him by his mighty enemies. Now remember, the king's name was Good Thoughts. He had the kingdom of Good Thoughts. And so long as he was the protector and defender of the kingdom, he did not allow any evil thought to enter his kingdom. So he was given an imperishable kingdom of good thoughts. Then the wise businessman, whose mind was filled with indifference to worldly objects, asked for the wisdom that removes the attachments of egotism and possession. He just asked for pure wisdom. I don't want any more ego, and I don't want any more attachment. And the goddess said, O king, within a few days your kingdom will be returned to you. After having slain your enemies, all the thoughts that tried to invade your kingdom, you will remain there firm and unshaken. After your death, you shall take birth from the God of universal light. Remember, the question was, how did the manifestation of wisdom, the Manu, named Sabarni, he who belongs to all colors, tribes, and castes. How did he become the Manu? How did he become that manifestation of wisdom? The manifestation of wisdom, he who belongs to all colors, tribes, and castes, will be the name by which you will be known on earth. So that was the boon that the goddess gave to him, an imperishable kingdom. He will become a manifestation of wisdom known as Sabarni, he who belongs to all colors, tribes, and castes, after he takes his birth from the god of universal light. And that's how Sabarni became the Manu of the Ashtamang Manvantar, of the eighth manifestation of wisdom. There were 14 manifestations of wisdom. The eighth manifestation of wisdom was known by the name of Sabarni. O best of businessmen, I grant to you the blessing that you desire of me. I bestow upon you the fullest attainment, and you will remain in the highest wisdom by which you will attain liberation. So those were the two boons to the king and the businessman. They really attained to extreme bliss. And they got into such an intensity of absorption in the chandi with no other thoughts that within this 3-year period, all their attachments to the world dissolved. Having thus granted the blessing as each desired, good thoughts wanted the imperishable kingdom of good thoughts. Samadhi, pure intuitive vision, wanted to remain in samadhi. Having thus granted the blessing as each desired, the goddess vanished, having been praised with devotion. Having obtained the blessing from the goddess, good thoughts, the best of warriors, will take his birth from the light of wisdom and will become the manifestation of wisdom, he who belongs to all colors, tribes, and castes. That's sufficient to describe where the tradition of the thousand-day Chandi Yajna came from. It comes from the Chandi itself. I'd like to share a little bit from chapter 12, which is known as the false Shruti, the recitation of the fruits of reciting the Chandi. Verse number 1, Om, the goddess said, whoever will constantly recite these hymns of praise to me with a concentrated mind, I shall without doubt put an end to their every difficulty. Whoever will sing of the destruction of too much and too little, the slaughter of the great ego and the death of self-conceit and self-deprecation, whoever with one pointed attention and devotion will listen to this presentation of my excellent glory on the 8th, that's today, 14th and 9th days of the lunar fortnight. To them, neither will anything bad occur, nor will misfortunes arise out of inauspicious events. Neither will poverty arise, nor separation from beloved ones. No fear will ever come to them from enemies, robbers, or kings, nor from weapons, fire, or floods. Therefore, this presentation of my glory should be recited with full attention and should be constantly listened to with devotion as it is one's own path to self-realization. This presentation of my glories, the great destroyer of all disturbances, will bring peace to the threefold nature of confusion, physical, mental, and spiritual, or myself, others, and acts of God. I shall never forsake the place where this narration is well recited. There my presence will constantly abide. And now we're establishing a new temple and a new ashram, and it is imperative, it is incumbent upon us that we establish her presence here in such a way that she will never forsake the place where this narration is well recited. When offerings are made during worship, in the fire sacrifice at great festive occasions, this presentation of my glory should be completely recited and listened to. I will accept with love all acts of worship, offerings, and fire sacrifices, whether performed with understanding or without it. If you just have devotion and you're trying your best to demonstrate the sincerity of your love for the goddess and your surrender to her teachings and to her teachers, then whether you understand the meaning of every mantra or not, she will accept your devotion. She will accept your love. She will accept your offering. In the great periods when yearly worship is performed in the autumn season, this presentation of my glory should be listened to with devotion and full attention. Again, the quality of attention is what really determines whether we've recited the Chandipat or we're just mouthing the words. The intention will determine the quality of attention. Our intention to demonstrate the sincerity, that byakulatha, that full surrender, that really deep quality of attentiveness because of our intention. The intention will define the quality of attention. If we're doing this to get through it, I want to get over it with it, and we're thinking about what I'm going to get at the end of doing it, then our attention is on the fruits and not on the path. We're doing this as a bribe to get something else. And therefore, our attention will waver. But when we really get into the chandi, it's just a privilege not to be preoccupied with worldly contemplations. And there, at that point in our sadhana, in our evolution, we no longer think about how to get it over with. We think about doing it again when we're done. Again and again. Because the real joy of the chandi is to be free of worldly preoccupations. It's not to get over or get through the chandi so that she'll give me the boon at the end. The boon is the privilege of reciting the chandi in the first place. People will become liberated from all troubles and without doubt will be blessed with wealth, food, and beautiful children. Whether they're physical children or metaphysical children, we will be blessed with beautiful children. Listening to this presentation of my glories, of my auspicious manifestations, and my heroic conquering in the battles, people become fearless. Enemies perish and welfare is generated for those who listen to this narrative of my glories, and their families rejoice. Let my glories be heard everywhere, in functions of peace, upon seeing a bad dream, or to alleviate the adverse effects of the positions of the planets. Troubles subside as well as the afflicting influences of the planets. The bad dream seen by people becomes a good dream. It pacifies children affected by the existence of adverse planetary influences, and it is the best cause of friendship when associations of people have divided. It annihilates the strength of evildoers, and its recitation destroys demons, ghosts, and ungodly spirits. This entire narration of my glories makes my presence manifest. Just reciting the chandi with full devotion and attention makes the presence of the Divine Mother manifest. With the same satisfaction with which I receive 1 year of worship with offerings of your animalistic nature, flowers, objects of value, incense, perfumes, lights, the feeding of wise people, fire offerings, daily sprinkling of consecrated waters, and the offering of other objects of enjoyment. Similar is my gratification for those who, with love for me, recite this excellent narration and listen to it but once. One recitation of the Chandi is equivalent to 1 year of daily puja. And 1,000 days of reciting the Chandi will be equal to many years of puja. And 1,000 days of doing the puja and reciting the Chandi will be equivalent to that much more. And if at the end of the recitation of the Chandi we still have strength and determination and we recite other scriptures as well, then the quality of our attention becomes enhanced, and the deepness, the capacity to go deeply into intuitive states of awareness becomes enhanced. We go deeper and deeper until we dissolve. Hearing removes sin and gives freedom from infirmities. Those who sing the praise of my births are protected from evil spirits, and the narration of my heroic acts in battle renders evil confusions without strength. After listening to this, fear of enemies is lost. The hymns of praise made by you gods and seers of divinity, and by the creative capacity in others as well, will bestow auspicious thoughts. On a lonely path in the forest, surrounded by a raging fire, encircled by robbers in a lonely place, captured by enemies, pursued by a lion, tiger, or wild elephants in the jungle, or under orders of an angry king, imprisoned or condemned to death, or tossed about by turbulent winds in a boat on the great sea, or in an intensive battle under heavy fire from opposing weapons, in all terrible afflictions and moments of distress, people who remember my glory will be freed from calamity and anguish. By my power, lions, robbers, and enemies flee to a distance from one who remembers this narration of my glory. And that's the false sruti, the recitation of the fruits of reciting the Chandi. And that's the tradition of singing the 1,000-day Chandi Yajna, the Sahasra Chandi Yajna. Now, there are many ways of reciting the Chandi according to our various capacities. Of course, we will want to strive to sit in one asana and not break that asana until our recitation is complete. That will be our endeavor. To the extent where it's possible, we will strive towards those objectives. And then when we get to recite the entire Chandi in one asana, we will expand the length of that recitation. We expand it through adding various samputs, different mantras, before and after every mantra of the text, or of the 700 verses. We will add other mantras, one before, one after. And there are various meanings and procedures for performing the samput. And of course, the samput recitation must be recited in one asana. If we don't have one asana, or asana siddhi, it's called, the attainment of perfection in your asana. If we do not have asana siddhi, it is improper to recite the samput. However, as we grow in our performance of the chandi, we will all attain asana siddhi, just through the repetition and the recitation. We will expand the length of time that we're comfortable to sit in the asana, so that ultimately we will forget the body. Now, if we're going to perform such a procedure. Obviously, we want to minimize the number of concerns that we have about the physical manipulation of the body, the physical organization of the ashram. I want to relate an experience I had many years ago in Himachal Pradesh. And somehow I joined a family of shepherds roaming through the forest. I was adopted by the family. I had been sitting next to a stream in a very densely wooded area up in the higher mountains of Himachal, and I was reading the Chandi every day until my food ran out. And when I completed all my supplies, it was just so beautiful, I didn't feel to go down, so I just stayed there without anything. And after a few days, I started to think about food and how far I might have to go in order to find some. And that afternoon, I heard the sound of a bell. And my spirits lifted up. And after a little while longer, I heard another bell. And then there was a whole flock of bells. And I ran to the top of a knoll and looked down the valley, and coming up the trail was a herd of goats and sheep and a family. And this family came right up the trail within 20 yards of where I was sitting and stopped, and nobody said a word. And within a few minutes, they had unpacked, the horse had a big carpet wrapped around it with bulges on both sides. They had rolled out the carpet, and there were pots and pans and a whole house full of stuff. And the kids ran off and milked the goats. The dog made all the sheep and goats herd into one thing. Papa went off and grabbed a tree. Mama had a fire. It was the most amazing thing I had ever seen. They had a whole house set up within a few minutes, and nobody said a word. They just knew intuitively what to do. Nobody had to say, we're going to stop here. It looks like a nice place over there. Put the horse over there. Within a few minutes, Mama was making boiled milk on the stove, on the fire stove. Papa was smoking the hookah, and the kids were washing in the stream. And nobody said a word. And I fell in love. They immediately took the first lota of milk, fresh goat's milk, with a couple of tea leaves and a little bit of sugar in it, and they came over and bowed to the Swami, and they offered it to the sadhu sitting in the forest. And they made my day. And I traveled with them for about 3 months. And we walked from Bilaspur through Kulu Manali up to Lahul Spiti. And then I went to Leh and Ladakh and came over to Srinagar and came down the other way and spent the summer in the Himalayas, in the high mountains. They took every year, this family lived 365 days a year outside underneath the trees, and they knew every tree in the forest. They just knew when to take wood from this campsite to the next campsite because we'd be staying above the tree line. They knew when we needed extra fresh water. They knew, oh, those herbs and those roots and this, it could find stuff to eat all through the forest. And it was fascinating to travel with them. We just walked. Oh, not even hard, you know, maybe 8 or 10 miles in a day. You get up early in the morning, I'd sing the chandi, and Pop would smoke the hookah, and Mom would make some chapatis, and the kids would milk the goats. And then slowly we'd pack up and mosey on up the trail. And every now and then we'd come to a town, they'd take one of the goats to the shop and sell it, come back with oil and sugar and a little bit of salt and spices. And it was a wonderful way of life. Well, after having this experience, I always dreamed of having a team of sadhus who just knew what to do and just lived in the bhava. I just felt the bhava. And that's what this Sahasra Chandi Yajna is an opportunity for all of us to do, is to just look and see what has to be done and figure out what's the best way in the best interests of the community to get it done. And then do it so that the yajna keeps going. So the root is the chandi, but all the peripheral knowledge that surrounds her, that we've been blessed with, this all of this knowledge can come to importance at different times. So the sadhana will vary individually and collectively. And we'll make a time and a schedule. And the schedule will vary from paksha to paksha or month to month. I remember vividly the yajna I performed in Rishikesh, where from the first to the fifth day, I would sit about 5 or 6 hours a day. And from the sixth to the 15th day, those 9 days of Navaratri, either from Shashti to Amavasya or Shashti to Purnima, I would grow my asan by adding different samputs into the chandi so that by the time I got to Chaturdasi, I was probably sitting 14 or 16 hours in a day, which includes a 2.5 hour, 3 hour puja, and then a 5 or 6 hour chandipat, and then an evening program for 3 or 4 or 5 hours, whatever was appropriate. And I used to perform every Chaturdasi a midnight yajna. So I would read the chandi again at midnight and finish about 5 in the morning or 5:30, and then take a bath in the Ganga and then come back and do the cosmic puja. Start all over for the Purnima or Amavasya puja. And I did this every paksha for the 3 years. That was my sankalpa at that time. Now I'm with a community in a group, and we're all going to harmonize our time, our practice, and the way we perform it so that everyone derives the maximum advantage from being in the environment of where this is going on. But I'll tell you, even to be in the presence, even to get to see others that are doing it, is a rare privilege on this earth. Even to hear of the chandi is a rare privilege. To be able to practice the chandi is a rare privilege. To even be with a group of people who have as their highest aspiration sitting in one asana and focusing on the chandi for the rest of their lives, that too is a great privilege. We're trying to create a great harmony of devotees offering devotion to the goddess 24/7. There is a 3-day, a 9-day, a 30-day, 108-day prelude to the chandi of a Sahasra Chandi Yagya. And we can perform at any time, and we will probably perform something of that nature in the next month we will begin. Om Sang Saraswati Namaha.